Hello and welcome to the 10th Manx Footy Pod of the season. On this week's podcast, myself and Dave.
Hi everyone.
Are joined by Peel's Lightly Lads, Lee Gale and Matty Woods. First of all, Dave, welcome back from your Hollybops.
Thank you very much.
Did I apologise to all our dedicated listenership were let down last week because I couldn't really be bothered doing it on my own.
No, no. Well, just say sorry to your parents for me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to miss
them. Lads, welcome back. We obviously didn't put you off too much last season. Obviously, you're back. You're veterans at this now, your second podcast.
Yeah, it's good to see that. Oh, I mean, last time I was here, I was in a room downstairs.
Yeah.
And Dave was sat on my lap.
You enjoyed that too much, mate.
Yeah. Which wasn't ideal when I was trying to talk, so it's nice to be in the big boardroom.
Well, we've got you in the big boardroom today. And of course, you're the main, probably, incentive for you guys coming back in, is we're doing biscuits this year. This is where the budget's going.
Although, I have already had a complaint that we don't have sandwiches.
Yeah. Sandwiches? Well, maybe next season.
Yeah.
We're still looking for a sponsor, you see. You know, I thought the Chinese takeaway stick would get us one.
Yeah.
But I'll speak to Andy Bassett Conister.
That's
sure,
it.
Sure, yeah. Something like
that. Yeah. Where was that? Andy Bassett Conister?
Yeah.
Yeah, Conister, yeah. Okay, we're Conister. So hopefully we'll see what we can do with that. But we've got some... I haven't even had one yet. I'm already joking. We've got some biscuits for you to try. Now, confession here, Andy Ball's probably going to be right on this afternoon, isn't he? I've never had a Jammy Dodger, so I'm going to have one for the first time now.
Podcast exclusive.
Yeah, exactly. Right, so lads, do you want to try one?
Yeah, I'll
be
Dodger.
I know you've got a big game on Saturday, but you can have one, Dave?
No, thank you.
Is you're not having one? Is that?
Could you not tell I'm on a diet? Yeah.
Right, so these, apparently, they're the best ever recipe. So I feel these are raspberry flavoured. They've always been raspberry flavoured, as a these. Okay.
And only 89p a pack.
Bargain.
Oh,
absolutely.
They're like a Bakewell tart.
How old are these?
Hang on, I went over the road before, but that's no guarantee. Best before 19th to the 5th, 2018. Did you see that thing this week about that poor guy been out trick or treating with his kids? And then someone had given him some chocolate digestives that went out of date in 1999.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. But there was another one that was a toffee apple, which turned out to be an onion wrapped in chocolate. That's pretty good as well.
That's only harsh. In Foxdale.
Yeah.
Right, lads. Oh, you're going to have to. Okay, hang on. Right, we've got you in. There's a big game on Saturday. St George's, Peel. Peel, St George's, it should be really, because that's Peel at home. Lads, how are you feeling about it? You know, it's been a bit of a bitty few weeks in more than one sense. There was no podcast last week, obviously, which you already mentioned, but the football hasn't really flowed in the last few weeks either. So, is the mood good, Lee?
Yeah, the mood's good, but like you say, there's been no consistency to the season. It's stop-start. As you say, we're coming off the back of the Corinthians game, so confidence is high. As far as I'm aware, everyone's ready to go, and there isn't any sort of injuries or anything like that, but... You never know, do you? Like it's the one game of the year where sort of everyone sort of tunes in, focuses, that's what the attention's on, and it's normally separated by a single goal.
Or an error.
An error.
Yeah.
I know they obviously destroyed us with the fives a couple of years ago, but...
Different team now.
Yeah.
Very massively different.
Yeah.
Well, I know you guys haven't had a good run of fixtures, but they haven't played themselves since the 23rd of September. You know, is this the best time to be playing them?
I think, well, there's never a good time to play George. They are a great team, don't get me wrong. I think, but from what I know, I think they always keep training hard. They had a midweek fixture with St John's, which I wasn't very happy to hear about that, to be honest. I don't know why that was arranged, but kind of felt like maybe someone was trying to do one over Peel. I don't know.
Yeah.
They probably got a bit of match fitness off the back of that. I think, like I said this last time I was on, I think anyone can win on any given day because both teams have similar quality, but it often is just an error that costs you at that sort of level. So I think it's a case of probably just shutting up shop and trying to maybe get them on the counter-attack. We've got a bit of pace down the wings, obviously, with Gale and Skilly and Big Sean up front, who's not afraid to throw his weight around. So... Quay and whoever's at the van, whether it be Jack or whatever, they'll have the work cut out looking after Sean there. So it'll be a good game anyway,
Well, they're welcoming Chris Bass Jr. back, but...
Potentially. I was speaking to one of his new colleagues in the fire service last week. He said that I think they only pass out on Saturday. Not literally, but when they finish their training. So it's going to be all Friday. Yeah. Maybe it's a race to whether he gets back. But I know we know that Callum and Johnny are back in the squad after overcoming injuries, so they're pretty much at full strength. But
how are you guys looking? Because apparently your training was really good the other night, was it?
As I say, yeah, you know, we train Tuesday, Thursday. Numbers are always there because you're in the hall. And then you've got the Ivan lads that are training on a Wednesday, which is pretty intense anyway. Mm. You're virtually playing flat-out games or whatever you're doing. Possession-based is high intensity anyway, which is normally better quality and higher than what you would do at your club. But I think, looking at the game, it's a case of, I mean, Furo's probably the form player on the Isle of Man, isn't it? So they've scored a lot of goals, and as long as you can sort of control him, you know, and after speaking to a couple of the St John's lads, it was kind of, he destroyed St John's midweek. If you can control Furo,
you've only got Packer to worry about.
We know how they're set up, don't we?
Yeah.
And we've got to contain them. And you know, it's always that thing of the fullback gets the ball, hits up to Callum or Furo. Furo sets it, Packer spins. It's just knowing it, but they're so good at it, it's just trying to stop it. Yeah.
And what about the talk about the Douglas Road factor? Because you're back at home now. You know, they're going to have to be peeling some extra spuds and peel, because I'm guessing there's going to be an extra few people coming down to watch on Saturday. You know, it's going to be, is that going to be a player factor in this match?
Yeah, I'd say so. It's nothing better than playing in front of a big crowd. We just need to get the crowd to, you know, cheer for us. Stop shouting on our errors. You know, players don't mean to make mistakes. You know, it's just, I mean, if you remember the time we beat them 2-1 down at our place, and
we had 9 men after 10 minutes.
Yeah, there was that game, and there was the one we beat them 2-1. The crowd noise there, but the crowd that day, it was just so loud. It just gave us that extra incentive to do well, and we don't always get that. And that's, as players, all we want is our crowd to be as loud as possible and intimidate the opposition, just to have that sort of extra factor, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So hopefully having been down at Peel will be a big sort of thing for us and really get the lads up for it. So yeah,
I think we're still looking at this. We've only played one game there so far. Yeah. And we're in November.
Yeah.
You know, we played Laxey there, but it's just ridiculous.
And the pitch still isn't right, is it?
No, yeah. Like, as much as people won't want to hear that, it's,
yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, they've done a great job, don't get me wrong.
If you look at it, if you take a picture and look at it, it's on the
ice. It's absolutely class, but if, you know, there's a chance if it rains in the next 2 days, or quite a bit of rain, the water's just sitting on the top of the pitch.
Right.
So it's, you know, fingers crossed that it doesn't bucket down or rain too
much. I'm pretty
hard.
Sure they've brought the pitch in as well. I think Bella was saying that. Yeah. Both sides, they've brought it in.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's nothing more that we want to get this game on. Like, so it's frustrating for us.
I think the weather's going to be okay, I think. It's going to be okay.
Mike Fish, have you been looking at the local weather forecast, Dave?
Absolutely. Sponsored by Isle of Man Government. Yeah. But, yeah, as you say, if you get a good crowd down, I think I was down at that game when you scored the winner.
Yeah.
At that, and the noise was unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, both ends of the pitch ran full of Peel fans. It was something to behold, so hopefully it'll be that again.
Hope so, yeah.
So, we talked about, you've mentioned a bit before about the Corinthians result, Lee. I was at that game. I thought you did, as you talked about containment, that you sort of almost did a job like that on Corinthians. I thought you kept them very subdued. You kept Sean wrapped up early doors and stuff like that. So is it going to be a similar game plan again on Saturday?
Well, I've said this to everyone that come down and watched, and people haven't been there. They definitely played the better football. I thought they were probably the better team at times, but it was nice for us to actually win a game like we did. You know, we were tough. We were ugly. We all defended. Cynical at times, which, in the past, that happens to us.
Yeah.
And we'll get bullied off the ball, and we'll be too pretty and too nice. But everyone put their foot in. Everyone got stuck in, as you say. You know, Sean went off. Steve Whitley was quiet. You stop them kind of players. Dan Simpson didn't really do an awful lot, and they've been on fire all season. Yeah. So that was like, it was massive as well, because we probably went into that game underdogs.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They've won the Charity Shield, top of the league, haven't lost a game. So we were definitely much the underdogs in that game.
Do you think that's been the shift slightly, maybe after last season, that the pressure's almost off you in a way? Because you're going into fixtures, maybe like last, if that fixture had been this time last year, you would probably still been favourites.
I agree, and I think that works in our favour. I think we're best when people are thinking Peel are out of it. We step up more. Yeah. I think it's when, like, the season where we threw it away with 2 games to go, we were the favourites going to all those games, and we just don't seem... Well, I didn't seem to handle the pressure well. The team was younger, etc. Then, but
and we've never been in that position.
We've never been in that position before.
No.
So I actually like going and thinking, oh, you know, Geordies have got this, when, hang on, boys, you're going to get a shock.
Yeah.
We're up for it and we'll match you all the way, so yeah.
And Steve's had to blend in a few new faces to the squad this year. You know, as I mentioned, Sean already, Skilly as well. Johnny Shields played in that game against Corinthians.
Yeah.
How's that, you know, has that been great? You know, you've actually got a few squad options now, haven't you? Rather than maybe a bare 11 and then a couple
of... Probably different to what they used to, because obviously they've come from Waxy. Sean's come from, I think, Air was his original background.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You can sort of see that when he was at Air, he was probably a bit like Azza was at Foxdale. You know, everything has to go
yeah.
through him.
Yeah.
He has to do everything. He's now coming to a team where he's got players around him. So obviously it's taken time to adjust. I think everyone's... You got to remember, he's come down to fill the boots of Ash and Josh, which,
yeah.
you know, that's you're talking yeah. 85 goals in it. It's going to happen, is it, in, you know, on his own? So,
yeah, I think the boy, I'll be honest, I think the first 3-4 weeks, I was looking around saying to myself, I don't know what these boys are going to add. I really don't. And I think it was that coming from Laxey, I don't think their training ethos was the same as ours. Like, we're there, and we're there to put it in. And then sort of where we are now, maybe for the last 2 months, I think, bloody hell, these lads are good players, like, and they're going to do well for this club. Like, Skilly, first 3-4 games, didn't do much, was quiet. And, you know...
All of a sudden, he's just like...
Our Corinthians, on Saturday, I was like,
couldn't stop him,
what a player.
Yeah.
You know, he was class, he was skinning the fullback over and over again. Sean Kelly just throwing his weight around, holding the ball up, dropping back in midfield, just... putting a shift in, and I thought, you know,
Johnny as well. I mean, because
Shields is
Johnny,
was great.
I've always played against Johnny as a defender.
Yeah,
never
yeah.
really seen him as a midfielder, but
that's where he started, though.
So tidy on the ball,
yeah,
comfortable.
He's very tidy on the ball.
And like you say, you do sort of five asides in the hall on a Thursday night or a Tuesday night. You definitely want him on your team. You know what I mean?
yeah. George and Penno as well. Got to mention
yeah.
those
yeah,
two
yeah.
boys. You know, Penno's obviously he's struggled with injuries, etc. But you can tell he's a tidy footballer. He's doing his best to lose all that weight. But he had a big session last week. On the ale, I know he's put 2 stone on him. So sorry, Penno, you are looking bigger. And this, you know, George as well. George's got a lot of work on outside of football at the minute, so he's had to take a step back. But those two could come in and do a job 100%. Like, so we're really happy with what we've signed.
And Aaron's back as well.
Yeah,
he has
yeah.
a goal potential goal threat there as well.
He will score goals.
He will score goals, and he's probably never trained as hard or looked sharp. He just. Needs to be patient and wait for his moment. It will happen, but as you say, it's nice to have, you know, you've got Billy
yeah.
Kenyuk, he's fighting against Sean, Iceman.
Right, yeah,
so,
yeah. Came off the bench against Corinthians, set up a goal, you know.
Yeah,
he
did well.
It's
nice
to
have them options
yeah.
as opposed to just relying on, say,
yeah.
one person. But I'd say massive for Peel is Owen Dawson.
Yeah,
he played really well against Corinthians.
You know,
he's come on so much.
So much. I think... He's been so solid in all of our games. Corinthians, he was definitely man of the match. He was
yeah.
the best player on the pitch. But
yeah, he's lost a bit of weight as well. He's starting to fill out, and you know he's starting to talk and be confident, because as a goalie, being
yeah.
young, it's so tough coming
yeah.
into this environment. You've got Lacey there turning around, going, what the hell? And you know, it's tough, but he's actually started to embrace
yeah.
it, and he's really come out of shell.
I was going to say that, though, because you think about when he came into that team at a difficult time, and there are big characters in that back four, Dom
yeah.
as well,
yeah,
adds when he's playing, and you know, and as you say, it's just been a case of time. You know, I think. We talk about the expectation on Peel when we talked about it last year, and unfortunately Owen probably didn't have the time that he might have had at other clubs to
yeah.
just sort of get stuff
yeah.
together, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no, I was very impressed against Corinthians.
Like
Tom
said,
Wood played,
Tom
Wood,
Wood
played well, really
yeah,
well against Wood.
He called up to the Ireland team as well for training, so...
He looked really well at centre back, and I think, you know, we've talked about it in the past, Dave. He's played in the left wing and centre
back. 100% centre back.
100%
yeah.
centre back.
He looked such at home, you know, against Corinthians.
He's 6 foot five or whatever
yeah.
it is. You know, you're not going to have him going up down left wing,
no.
you know, box to box. You know.
And that's the same with centre mid. He's not that kind of player, but at centre back.
He's a great tackler. He's getting really good in the air. He's strong. He's only going to get better.
Yeah.
So I'd have, you know, he could be Peel's centre back for the next 15 years.
And,
yeah.
and like you say with Dawson, it's nice to have the younger Peel
yeah.
lads coming through as opposed to having to poach players like other clubs.
Yeah.
That was my next question. Because obviously Billy Kenyuk's making his mark. He's pushing for a first team spot. Who else is coming up for the combi for the junior ranks?
Yeah, quite.
Billy.
Let's
yeah, well, I don't know if either of you know Ethan Herbert.
Yeah, he played in the Junior Cup team last year.
So, blonde haired lad,
yeah.
We call him the Peel Predator.
It's an unfortunate nickname.
In front of goal. So, you know, everyone talks about Billy Kenny, Tom Wood, all these young lads coming through. Ethan Herbert, for me, is got the most talent.
Pound for pound.
Through. Yeah, a lot of player. So if he could get to training more than once, once a quarter, because apparently he is a big Bake Off fan.
So was he a bit upset about the tweet the other day?
Which tweet's that?
Did you hear about this?
No. They announced the winner.
They announced the winner. One of the judges, I believe, was Steeman, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was.
I think she'd been in the white with Bella.
Standard. Pouring the wickets on her head.
Singer. She tweeted the winner 12 hours before the show.
Oh, she's bright.
But then she said it was because she wasn't actually in the way. She was in Bali or somewhere like that, and it got confused by the time difference. Yeah. So was Ethan all right?
I don't know how Ethan took the news, but we haven't seen him since. So maybe, you know,
he did make an appearance, and I could tell his head was all over the place because I think he got megged about 4 times in a row in the warm-up, didn't he?
He was just thinking about pastry.
Yeah.
We've all been there. We all like a bit of pastry, don't we? Anyway, then.
Yeah.
Right. What I was going to say. So we talked. Both of you are involved with the Almanac FA squad. You know, how is Jonesy settling into the manager's role? He seems to have had a positive effect so far. You know?
I've had him before, so it's nothing unusual or new to me, because obviously we had Burnsy Jonesy in 2014, and I just think that the three of them complement each other so well. You've got Dicko's knowledge of sort of changing the game and giving information. Burnsy can give you so much. You could be having a nightmare and he'll just give you so much confidence.
It does to you.
I'm normally having a nightmare. And then obviously Jonesy, as a manager, he sort of sees it from, he can do all three. Personally, yeah, I think it's great. I mean, I'm not sort of saying anything bad about Hurty and Holden, you know, because I played for them as well, and then obviously I had my sabbatical, but coming back to it, training seems to be like it was.
Yeah.
So that's all.
Yeah, it's just a contrast in styles from, you know.
But that's sometimes, you know, no disrespect, as you say, to Holden and Hurt, but it's sometimes a fresh approach, freshens everything up.
I think what I think we've lacked, and, you know, listen, Hurty, Rick and Captain did do a good job, they just had their different style. I think what we lacked was organisation. Like, for example, the first time in my life, I've just received an invoice from the FA for a trip I've been on. In the past, it's always been Woodsey, you owe £350, and we've been waiting 3 months for it, what's going on. I've got an invoice there with a deadline date, and that's little things like that. It's just organisation.
Yeah.
Training's been every week. You get the training half an hour before it starts to warm up. It's all those little things that make a difference and make it feel more sort of professional, you know, and that's what you want when you represent the Ireland team.
The numbers have been there as well. I mean, you've been doing 11v11 with people having to sub and rotate each week, which in a couple of years gone by, you know, you're scratching 4-11.
I
think going forward, it's only going to get better.
It's funny, when we had Paul in not long after he got the job, he was talking about the professional side of things, and he said, I can't remember the phrase exactly he used there, you might remember, he wasn't going to over-professionalise it, because he says, you've got to remember, you guys have jobs, are families, you're amateur footballers. But he said any sort of thing he could, the stuff you've already touched on, he can bring that can help you raise your game.
We had a meeting when we were there after the second game against Northern Ireland, and he said to us, what can we do and what can you do to make us step up a level as a country and compete with Northern Ireland, Scotland? And we put all our suggestions on the table. He gave us his suggestions, and now it looks as though they're actually being implemented, which is what you want as a player and a coach. So there's no reason why James can't be in the job for a long time. He's a bright fella, so, you know, I'm really looking forward to it.
So how was the quadrangle? I mean, how would you rate the team's performances?
As a tournament overall,
overall.
I still think the best one we went to was 2010. Maybe that's because it was my first one, but it was still a good tournament. I think it was probably the weakest Republic team that I played against, the strongest Northern Ireland team, and Scotland.
We hardly touched
the ball against Scotland. Yeah. I know it was 2-1. Obviously, there was a few errors, myself included, but we must have defended for 85 minutes in that game.
It was
just non-stop. I know we scored the goal from the corner, but they were
you know, on another day though, it could be 1-0 to us.
Yeah,
you know, it was just one of those. And like I was saying to Gaila during the game, I shouted over to him and I was like, Gaila, I'm literally marking three. And it's what they, and I was, yeah, because the fullbacks,
they played with two at the back. They played two centre backs.
Two centre backs, and the two fullbacks were basically two wingers.
Yeah, right.
And the
wingers would get the ball, and they had a Johnny Myers pass in, and every time that would go to the left winger's foot, right, and he wouldn't have to move. And I'd have the striker coming over, I'd have the left mid, the wing and the centre mid all pushing on, and it would just, they know what they're doing. They're just, they've been trained well, but Jones has been here for what, two months or something.
You can't
get us to play against that overnight, and it's, we have to raise the bar in training and against the teams we play to compete with that, because we showed we can, but we don't play together enough to do it.
It's funny, isn't it? Because we talk again, we touch on the scrutiny that perhaps people get, that maybe other clubs on the island don't, but there's that junior junior side that Scotland have. There was a column in the Sunday Sun. Did you see that? Mm. And did you see the headline? It was something like no
Max for nothing.
Yeah, Max for nothing. Yeah. And there was 500, 600 people watching it. You know, but there's the scrutiny was on them. I think there would have been a lot of contention about their selection. You know,
I think the other thing going into the game as well, I think they had to win the game 5 or 6-0.
Yeah.
So they obviously were assuming that they were going to do that to us anyway, because Northern Ireland had done that. We obviously wanted to, you know, have a good account of ourselves, not get humiliated. We knew there was a big crowd there watching. We knew that we were going to be defending for pretty much the whole game. So we had to be clever with what we did as well. You know, you're not going to run to take a throw in when you're under the cosh.
No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, you slow the game down, you frustrate them, because when you're playing a better team, that's what you have to do. You see it in the Premiership when teams like Brighton and Huddersfield are playing Man United and Liverpool and so on. They do it to them, and it's that side of the game that I think on the Isle of Man we're quite naive to, because you just automatically want to do everything at 100 mile an hour, but you never really see any teams taking the sting out of it. I'll go back to the Peel Corinthians game. We did take the sting out of it.
Yep.
We didn't rush anything. We slowed it down. We walked to take throw-ins. We walked to take corners. It's 1 minute, 2 minutes, and it's just killing the game, and it just takes the sting out of it, and that's a big part.
It's a skill.
Yeah,
going down for pretending you're taking a knock, and you know, sort of rolling around for 30 seconds. Physio comes on, slows things down. The team, they're starting to get really frustrated. When we go again, you know, it just sort of breaks things up and makes it manageable. Yeah,
so. And little things like that, you don't even think about it as a player, because in the Isle of Man, you wouldn't really necessarily do that, would you?
You don't need to do it when you're 10-0 up against United.
And when you're playing against this level of opposition, they're obviously quite cute. They know when to go down. They know how to dive properly. They know how to cheat effectively.
Yeah, they pull you into foul.
Yeah, but let's be honest, that's some of those Scotland team players that play professional football. You know, I don't know. I think when it was over here, and I think I remember doing the report of it, I think he played in Peel when Connor made his debut. You guys might have been too young for that, but there was a couple of them that played Premier League. Mm-hmm. You know, they just dropped down, you know, and let's be honest, most of them have probably been playing League One, League Two in Scotland. So they will have learned those tricks through that experience.
I spoke to one of the Scottish lads after the do we had on the last night, and he was saying that he'd had like sort of 70 appearances in the SPL when he was 22, 23, and he was still on sort of £350 a week.
Yeah.
So you know, someone's getting paid that much money is a decent player.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I said to you, Dave, a lot of them find it, you can make more money playing semi-pro with the junior clubs and having
and
a day
job.
As a personal trainer or as a PE teacher or whatever, and it earned more than they would do as a full-time professional for, say, Edinburgh City or Elgin or whatever.
So do you think the squad learn from the experience?
I think you learn every game. You every time you're together, you learn.
Yeah.
I don't think there's ever a time where you don't learn. You're always going to make mistakes, but it's how you then fix that for the next time you go out. And obviously we'll hope to put that right on the 18th when we play Liverpool.
What Jonesy said, and it's a great point, is that if we make one mistake, you don't have another mistake after another mistake after that. So if you get skimmed by a man, you've got to make sure someone's there sweeping you. And if no one's there, it's another error, then they're in. So if you have one mistake, dealing with it immediately. And that's what you have to do at that level, because they will just destroy you if you make three or four mistakes in a row.
And that's how our goals happened.
Yeah.
When we conceded, it wasn't as if they scored in the 10th minute and then they scored in the second half. They scored a goal, and then from the kickoff, within a minute, they scored again.
Yeah.
Snowball effect.
All three teams.
Yeah.
And is it, we talked about this, is the games you mentioned is quite so intense, aren't they? You know,
yeah.
Is it harder then to raise your games for the no disrespect to Liverpool County, but for the Interleague games? Because having watched that first round game against Peterborough, you I didn't think you played particularly well, but you still won 4-1.
I don't think, not for the Isle of Man, definitely when you play it, so when you play club football, yeah. It's hard because you 9 times out of 10, the teams that, as Peel, and you're playing against, you're expected to win, so you've obviously got a lot of time on the ball and you've got a lot of time to do things, whereas when you're playing against that level of opposition, they've got the ball and we're running around chasing shadows. So the gulf in who you're playing against is just huge.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying, for the Interleague Cup games though, is it hard to...
Well, this is what he's trying to cut out, isn't it? Mm. You know, he wants us to go into the same game,
same mindset.
So, yeah, you're probably right in what the Peterborough game. I wasn't there for it, but yeah, you're probably right. But the lads need to make sure of how we perform in Scotland. Mm. If we perform like that against Liverpool, then we're going to win.
Yeah.
Simple as. So we just need to do it again, yeah.
And a 6 o'clock kickoff again, are you enjoying it under the lights, or do you prefer it? Is it hanging around in the day doing
I know it's... I think they've asked to have it at that time because they didn't get here, but I just think it's ridiculous. Like, I don't understand how, you know, if that was us and we were going over to Liverpool, we'd be told when we're playing.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to play the game anyway, but it's a lot of waiting around, you know what I mean? You just, Saturday for me is played at 2 o'clock or 2:30.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a lot of waiting around.
Yeah.
Gives you time to go out on your bike first, though.
A pub.
Yeah. Right. Right, so we're going to introduce a new feature.
Yeah, prompted by you too, I believe. Man.
Yes, I think this is Gail's inspiration here. But
So all the flack can go directly towards him. You know, yeah. Like, the boys are getting their notes. So, here we go.
This is serious now. So, yeah, we're going to look at Team of My Life.
Yeah, it was sort of a play on pun between Team of the Week and This Is My Life.
There you go. I like it.
So we should present it to him in a red book. Oh, the coat's coming off. This must be the Conister jacket. Whoa. Is coming off. Yeah. So this is, to explain a bit further, Dave, isn't it? We were asking our guests to name their best 11 that they've played with during their career, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it looks like these two boys have given us some serious thought.
So we just checked there. We've not gone through our teams, but they are nearly identical.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Who's going first?
Yeah.
Well, we'll start with the goalkeeper.
For me, Kelvin.
And I've gone for the same.
He's a fan. We think we talked about this last year. Best ever chant at a football final. Kelvin Dawson is a fireman.
Yeah.
Brilliant chant.
So original.
Unbelievable keeper.
Yeah. And just communication and his work ethic and training and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, he's obviously played a hell of a lot of appearances for the club. So, class.
So, in defence, who have you got?
I've gone for Judge at right back.
Yeah, Mr. Consistent.
Your favourite player?
Well,
no offence to Matty, but he's your favourite right back, isn't he?
No, he's fine.
I don't think you'll find a better right back than him, to be fair.
Yeah,
he is phenomenal. His consistency is what sends him out.
He's always a seven.
Yeah. He's so hard to get past as well, isn't he? Yeah. Like, I know, I played against him on the left as well, and he's just a nightmare.
Hopefully, his legs are
stuck. Dogged. But he's back in the fold now, isn't he? He's a bit the FA fold after a bit of a sabbatical. So
I've gone for Judge as well.
Judge, okay. Yeah. Have you all gone 4-4-2? Have we gone?
Yeah, I've gone 4-3-3
as well.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
All right, going into centre half. Start the league.
My two parents would be Nigel Shimmin and Don McGreevy.
Oh,
so I've gone for Nigel Shimmin, and I've also gone for Squeak.
Right.
So Squeak was obviously at the end of his career when I was at Peel, but I played one season with him in the combi when I was probably 17, 18 or whatever it was, and that was the best season of football I've still had, him playing behind me. Yeah, just because I learnt that much. I was playing in the middle of the park and he just told me what to do, and then the next year I came into the first team and played centre mid that year with Bella, I think it was, and it was just easy after having Squeak behind me. His knowledge of the game is just unbelievable, and he's the finest player I've played with, even though it was at combi level and he was probably 38 or 39.
He's still playing Masters, is he?
Yeah.
I
see him walking the dog quite a lot.
Yeah, he's a great walker now.
Shim for me, obviously he was captain of the Isle of Man and captain of Peel. Yeah, and when I come into Peel's team when I was sort of 17, just his presence, like, if you took a corner, you just knew he was going to be on the end of it.
Mm.
And he was just, I would have hated to have played against Shim.
It's respect as well, you know, you just had respect for him, didn't you?
And I think Dom as well, I've played against Dom and obviously with Dom, and he is just the nastiest person to play against. You know, he's played in that Northern Ireland setup at that level, and he's just so cute, but he's like a really good footballer as well.
I would have Dom in there as my first reserve.
He'd
be the next one in for me. Yeah.
Right, left back. I think I probably know where you're both going with this one.
It's got to be Lacey. Yeah. I still think he's probably...
He's been like one of the finest PL players, hasn't he? The amount of appearances says enough. And just, he's a good fella as well.
So. And at 39, I mean... He's still doing it, do you know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
He's not far off, like the likes of you and I, in the fitness.
Really, you know, still he's like easily in the top third.
Question, do you think he's had to change his game at all?
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah. I actually think Lacey's a little bit nastier now. I know he's always been, I think because he's lost a bit of pace, he's a bit off the ball. That's what I see in Lacey.
Yeah, I think he was definitely nasty, but he was obviously quicker and he could probably do things that his body allowed him to do, say, 5 years ago. Whereas, as you say, it happens to everyone. You do probably get a little bit slower and you're not going to get to things. So he's definitely sort of wised up in that area, hasn't he?
His position in a sense has probably had to be, you know.
Is he still bombing forward as much as
he still does.
He still gets up and down.
He tries and then just kicks it out for goal kick. So yeah.
As a left back though, he's got to be in there.
Yeah, he's definitely in there.
So he's nice and nasty. I'm glad we cleared that.
So have you both gone for a tight three-man midfield? Or?
We've gone for exactly the same.
I've gone for total football midfield.
Right, go on in.
I've gone for Myers,
yep.
Danny Bell and Chris Kane.
Tough.
I've gone for Myers, Danny Bell,
Chris. Is this just to try and boost our listens in the Middle East? Because
he's out there now, yeah.
Again, with Toff, so obviously, when I come in to play for Peel, I've never seen a man just control the game like he does. He never did anything complicated. It was 5-10 yard passes. He was like 5'8".
Peel's the shop in many ways, wasn't he?
Just win headers for fun.
Yeah. He was just a great,
really broke the game up, and you'd have to play at his pace. Literally, he could just control a game.
Yeah. Yeah. Competitive edge as well. I remember him throwing himself into challenges. So what was the other two you had? Sorry, Bella
for me. I think, you know, Bella made this point when we were away in Scotland there. Bella can step up a level. He is that good. Obviously, he's a complete moron on a night out. But he is a great player. He's a very clever player. You know, like he played, I think, all the minutes in those three games. But he just kept going because he's so clever with his running. He just sat in front of the back four, got the ball, and kept it. You know, he was absolutely brilliant. And he's a PL legend, and he's probably still got another.
I think he's another one like Jack McVeigh, whereas they can. They're both like really good footballers. Probably the two, like football wise, they're
brain.
They are the two sort of standout ones, and they can like play at that level. Like Bella for me is the best player I've played with. I mean, I wouldn't have scored, I'd say, 3/4 of my goals without his assists.
Yeah,
he just puts them on a plate for me, and will continue to do so because it's that easy for him.
We talked about Lacey having to change his game. Do you think Bella's had to change his? Because he went for a period where he was having lots of injuries.
Well, we had Fat Bella, didn't we? And now we've got Slim Bella. So Fat Bell was good at going forward, and he got 25 goals
a season
at one point. Now he's a lot fitter and looks after himself, which is weird saying about Bella, but he does look after himself.
He's more box to box,
to be honest. I don't think his legs are anywhere near going. He's up and down that pitch. And I don't know whether we're using him to the best of our...
I personally don't want to see him doing that.
I'd have him attacking midfielder. Against Corinthians last week, that's kind of the second half there. I held midfield. Because he pushed on more. But, you know, that's where he's good in that attacking midfield role. Number 10, he gets and he creates stuff. You know.
I couldn't believe he played so much of the Ireland games as well. He went into it on the back of his
appendix.
He's just class.
As a footballer, I mean, it's probably going to sound biased, obviously, because we're from Peel, but we see him train all the time, and he is the Manx Gazza, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
With the alcohol.
So let's talk about Myers then, a quick word for him. Obviously,
I think the years when he was at Peel, as a 19-year-old, and you're playing with Myers, watching him was just like, you know, wow.
He taught us a lot because we lived with him as well. Us three lived together in an Iceman, and we were obviously, how old were we, 19? And obviously he come down, people had wrote him off and said, like, you know, he's overweight, he's finished. And you think when they were saying that when he was at Peel, he's gone on and won 2 Grand Slams, 80-odd caps for the Isle of Man. This is like since then when people...
It's just 7 years ago now.
Like, how can you say that about him? Because
he was still in his prime-ish. Then. Yeah. He was kind of a bit of beef, but he kept going and he was fit and he was quick. Just having him on that pitch, it makes such a difference.
Yeah.
When you say about Jack and Bella, about having it in the head,
yeah.
I think Johnny has that, though, doesn't he? And the way that he's adapted to several positions as well. Because, you know, he's gone from... Player. Yeah. Attacking midfield to now centre half, basically, and the way he's almost controlled any. I think he's playing goal as well, isn't he?
I think obviously Johnny's played most of it at centre back, and again over here, you know, kind of what he's going to do. If I'm on the wing, he's going to be putting it over the fullback's head, and that'll be the same for Bassi and Pekka. Whereas I think Bella and Jack, I've obviously seen more of them in centre mid, and you've got to do a little bit more in there, haven't you? Whereas I haven't really seen Johnny playing centre mid. He played a few games, but most of it was from centre back, and at the Ireland team as well, it's been centre back.
But I'd have him centre mid.
I'm going in like peak condition. Yeah. That's where they'd be.
Front three then. So there's a few goals goal scorers you guys have played with.
Go for left because I think we're probably the same.
Yeah, Chris Bass Jr.
Okay.
Right side, I've gone for Webster.
Yeah.
I went Pekka. Yeah.
And down the middle, I've gone for Pekka.
Yeah, and I put Ash on the right side.
Yeah, it's
crazy, isn't it?
So I say, I'd also, I mean, in 3 years' time, I'd probably put Gale down that right hand side if he carries on doing what he's doing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But at the minute, he's only 26, aren't you? So he's got a long way.
And he's not yet in his prime, is he?
Well, Gale's been in his prime since he was 12. I don't know. He said he's been long in the shower since he was 12.
Of those front three, who do you think could end up on pens?
McNulty.
Do you think?
He scored 300 goals.
Yeah.
You can't not have him on penalties, can you?
Yeah.
But who's the captain?
Captain Shim, for me.
Yeah.
I'd go Shim as well. I was going to say Squeak, but I'd go for Shim.
And manager, who would you have to manage?
Me, well, I picked it.
Yeah. Lee?
Oh, that's a tough one.
That's fair. I mean,
best manager I've had.
I mean, Falky, they like say, say me. I mean, Falky's a fantastic trainer and coach. As a manager, that's everything. I'd probably take a bit of Falky, a bit of Rick, a bit of Koch when he was doing it. I like some of those things Koch did, surprisingly. I couldn't really
pick Eric Gratzi.
Eric, I love Eric. But I'll have to sit on the fence with that, I think. I don't know if I could actually give you
Lee looks very pained by this question.
Tough, that one. Yeah. Just you think of who gets the most out of you, and I think probably it's always for the Ireland team, isn't it? Because it's that step up.
Yeah, I guess. But
I don't really want to. No, I'm going to sit on the fence.
Okay.
All right, we'll move on to Twitter questions then.
Yes, from the your quite serious debate to the more surreal side of the podcast. Dave, go on then.
Well, podcast favourite Joey Andrews, question for you, Woodsy. Would you rather be a German shepherd or a shepherd that was German?
See, that's a very good question.
Yeah, it is very good. It's
very philosophical.
So I'm sort of giving this some thought here. I think... I like the German language.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was my favourite subject at school.
Mm.
Managed to get an E at GCSE. No. I think I got an A in German. I'd like to be a shepherd that was German. I like the countryside. And I like sheep.
You might get in that what's it, Peel Saint-Germain team then, because they like playing up hills.
No, I don't want to play with those sort of people. No. Like Connor Keenan and the likes. Yeah.
No, not at all.
Lee, would you be rather? I don't think we should open this question up. Would you be a German shepherd or a shepherd that was German?
I think I'd rather be a German shepherd, to be honest with you.
Dog.
Yeah. Would you like to be like a police dog or
police dog sniffer dog? Yeah.
Something like that.
Never know what you could sniff.
What?
What?
on that bombshell.
I don't actually know what that means.
former Union Mills, and I think he may still be signed on at Corinthians, but I'm not 100% sure. Talking man Ian Drake. Question for you, Lee. Is it true that you invested in a business owned by Pete Betteridge called Pete's Pedals?
Yeah, it was breaking news on Tuesday night, actually.
Oh, right,
we were in the pub. And, believe it or not, we were in the Baltic, and myself, Bassey, Peter, had to break it to the Betteridges that the car garage is no longer going to be a car garage.
Oh, right, okay.
The works that are going on down there at the minute are Pete's Pedals. It hasn't gone down too well.
Do you think this will revolutionise the e-commerce of Foxtel, bringing in, you know, tourists on their bikes and stuff?
We're going to go for sort of unicycles and trikes.
Right, so there's a bit of stuff you can get elsewhere.
Yeah, it's going to, there's a USP. Niche market, yeah. Obviously, we've got a cycling ambassador in Andy Bass to sort of test ride the bikes.
Yeah.
He's on the same training plan as Chris Froome. He's the only man I know that sort of does 2,000 miles a week. and still manages to sort of pull in the business. I just look forward to the 2018 of Pete's Pedals.
Well, you know, when Pete's Pedals are up and running, if they ever want to sponsor a football related podcast, you know, give us a shout. Dave, to the next ridiculous question.
All right, Cal Morrissey wants to know if you've ever had a sword fight.
Yes. Several times.
And
any context?
Any context? Or contact?
all I'd say is...
There's been a lot of crossing swords in Peel.
We live together, so...
We've exchanged many a sword.
Many a sword.
Yeah.
I think we'll leave that one there. There was another question from Russian midfielder Jordan Watson, which I think you've seen, Lee, on Twitter, which I don't think we can possibly...
I think we're going to censor out half of this anyway, so...
I don't think we can. that would the line we're probably skirting with at the moment. Hang on, what's happening?
Which way is it?
I've had to say, I didn't want to offend the printer by printing it, to be honest.
Oh, right.
But needs to say, it involved one of you being naked and the Arch Elegant. But let's say...
that'll be you then.
But we're going to talk about that one. Frank Jones, question for you, Lee. Even though you went and won gold with the bikes at Island Games, would you prefer gold with the football team? With the hashtag as well, this comes with, if you could pick again, knowing.
No, because I wanted a year out from football and I stopped. I was buzzing for the boys winning gold. All I'd say is thanks to them for winning gold because it made me want to go back and play football.
Right.
So that's... pretty much how
good answer. Good answer.
Mm-hmm. Have you enjoyed going back to football? You know, are you still going to be doing a bit of cycling as well?
More socially. I don't really.
Pete's Pedals.
Oh, yeah.
Pete's Pedals. Yeah. it was amazing doing it, but it was just so costly, and it's not something that I really fully thought through. I thought I could probably, and I did get help. Do you know what I mean? There were sponsors and stuff like that. But realistically, having a house and a family and stuff like that, 26, it's. It was never going to sort of happen financially, but it was great. Enjoyed it, and buzzing to have picked up a goal, two goals as well at the games, courtesy of the team as well.
So it's in 2 years' time, is it Guernsey? Gibraltar. What sport are you going to have a crack at?
Tenpin bowling, I think. Yeah. See if I can equal Sorby. he's got three medals at three different sports.
Right,
so
right.
Yeah, I might even look at clay pigeon shooting.
Beach volleyball, actually, I'm aiming at.
Oh, yeah, well, Travis have got it.
Yeah, I've been asked.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure you're on the same wine and dine circuit as them too. So.
We will be.
Sean Doyle, question for you, Matthew. How's the Island Games for you? Did you get up to much swimming whilst there? I hear the Swedish waters are cold.
Well, yes, it was cold.
Should we caveat this with, is this an ongoing Swedish court case, or are we...
I'm banned from Sweden. No, all week we were doing bets. I can't remember what it was called. It's like you say some numbers, and if you say the same number as the other person, you have to do the bet. Mine was, can you jump in the lake? So we were heading towards the closing ceremony in civilian gear, wasn't in the Allman tracksuit, just to be clear. Get that
not a national embarrassment.
Yeah. And I lost the bet, and it was jumping in the lake without any clothes on. So
was it bracing?
Pardon?
Was it bracing?
Yes.
Cold?
Yeah, it was. But I probably shouldn't have done it, but you know, there wasn't anyone around that I thought that could be offended. It was just in front of the Allemans men's football team, so I jumped in, jumped back out, but it was very cold. And there's probably a picture somewhere of me doing it.
Well, I'm going to hesitate to say don't tweet us that picture. So the moral of the story is, though, there was other people there that you didn't see. So any aspiring Matthew Woods, you'd say maybe not do that in the future.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't. Yeah, I'd do it in a pool or somewhere. I don't know where I'm going with this. Somewhere where there wasn't people that you could maybe upset. But yeah, okay. I didn't damage anything. I didn't hurt anyone. It was just a bit of fun with the lads and.
Did the local law enforcement get involved at all?
Or? No, no. They actually congratulated me on the gold medal and said, you know. Well done for celebrating in style.
Fair dues, right.
Question for you, Lee, from Tyler Marsden. It's a deep question as well. Chili loaded potato skins or cheese and onion loaded potato skins?
Probably chili. Chili skins.
I noticed you'd answered that already last night. You missed the point of the Twitter questions for the podcast a little bit.
Yeah, just very eager to answer questions. Thanks to Callum for
pointing that. Yeah. He's probably saved the show with those figures a trip there. But so chili, is that any particular reason? Cheese and onions always there. I quite like cheese and onions.
No, just go for chili.
Matty?
Gosh. What a challenging question. I'm not a fan of onion. It's the only food that I don't really eat.
Right.
Yeah. So if I see an onion, I run a mile. So I'll go for the chili loaded potato skins too.
Dave,
big fan of chili.
Fair dues.
What about you? Are you just gonna stick with this cheese and onion, or are you gonna get?
I don't discriminate. I'd probably eat both. Yeah. William Luke Brown, best and worst trainer at Peel, Matty.
Worst trainer, Ethan Herbert. Potentially, in the first team, I don't know.
Matthew Scalacorn is the worst trainer at Peel.
Yeah, to be fair though, he's been coming quite a bit. Worst trainer.
As in, not turning up.
Yeah, no.
Matt Skilly.
Jeff Skilly.
Best?
Johnny Kelly.
Tom Wood,
Johnny Kelly. Yeah.
Fair dues.
Tom Wood, lost a game.
What I'll tell you, Tom Wood, right, he's a smart lad. What he does, when we pick teams at the end for the football,
yeah.
Tom, every week, somehow ends up the job of giving the bibs out and picking the teams. So Tom's there, with his blue bibs, he'll give it to five first team players. Oh, that's our team, lads, get over there. And then he'll give four bibs to some, guys that can't make the combi team. So you go in that team, then you have, in fact, no, Woodsy, you go with them. So there's me, losing 15-0 in each game, getting wound up, thinking, how's Tom Wood winning this every week? And then it was pointed out to me, Tom Wood's picking these sides. And last week it didn't happen and Tom Wood was on the losing team.
Been very even the last couple of weeks since our chat in Glasgow.
Matty, you're an aspiring coach stroke manager. So it's just surely, this bringing on these players.
And I embrace it.
You embrace it.
And I try and coach them through it. Exactly. I try and coach them through it. But yeah, I helped with the Peel under 16s this year. Mm. And there's a few good players in there. I'll tell you that now. And they'll be in the first team in the next 3-4 years.
Right.
There's a couple in there. Future Ireland players, I believe, too.
Anyone you want to name, or is that too much pressure?
I know under 16. Can you do that? There's all that stuff in the news this week. Someone touched someone's leg in 1963 and it's come back to haunt them. But I'll tell you.
I don't think Matt, this will be used as evidence in court at any point. But, yeah.
I'll tell you one. Billy Kenyuk's younger brother, Sam Kenyuk.
Yeah.
He'll be a great player. He probably ends up centre back. Mm-hmm. He's class. There's two young lads, they're only 14, Tom Dowling and Liam Knifton.
Right, you heard it here first.
So there we go.
Write those down, I think they'll be good players.
Right, talking to youngsters, before we look ahead to this week's fixtures, I spoke to Alam FA's under-18s manager Lewis Qualtrough after last weekend's 3-0 win over the FA in the FA County Youth Cup against Lancashire. So let's have a listen to what he had to say now. Lewis, you couldn't ask for pretty much more than that, really. 3-0, clean sheet, all-around performance was really good as well.
No, really, really proud of the boys. They were fantastic. They'd done everything that was asked of them. And a really disciplined performance, both in possession and out of possession. And make no mistake about it, Lancashire had some good technical players and quite a few physical players as well, but stuck to our game plan and got the result that we wanted to get. And couldn't fault them. So
I know it's hard to praise individuals in that sort of performance, but I thought the back four played really well today, and James Rice pulled off a couple of cracking saves in the second half.
He did. He pulled off some fantastic saves to keep it. Will give us the clean sheet. I thought Carlo in particular was excellent today. He had their whole game plan really was around their number nine, playing into their number nine, and we had to make sure that We tweaked a few things at half time, but Carlo from the first minute was really up for it, and he was really good and he did really well and handled him. So really happy.
And Lancashire, you expect to be maybe one of the stronger sides in this competition. How does that set us up going forward, you know?
We'll take one game at a time. But yeah, we played Lancashire last year, since I started taking the 18s for the last 2 years, and so we played them last year and lost 2-1. And they were a good team then, and they were a good team today. And I expect them to be a strong team in the competition. There'll be lots of other good teams in the competition, but we're a good team as well.
Yeah.
Make no mistake about it, we're a good team. And moving forward, the confidence is going to grow and snowball. It's about time people come down and fill the stands to watch these boys play.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Yeah.
Get behind them, because the more people we can get behind them, I know our game is home next.
Yeah, yeah.
The more people we can get behind them, the better. So, yeah.
Well, I'll go and let you enjoy Richard Brandt's disco.
Yes. Thank you.
Right, welcome back. Hope you enjoyed Lewis's Kevin Keegan-esque rant there. It was pretty clear. He wants everyone down at the bowl for the next round. Lads, looking ahead to Saturday, we'll start with your game, Peel St George's, Canada Life Premier League. Massive game this. I'm very much looking forward to covering this one tomorrow, so it's probably going to be a drab 0-0 draw, isn't it?
What do you reckon?
I think it will be a close game, and I think there'll be a goal in it either way.
What do you reckon, mate? Both sides to score, 50p each way. Yeah.
I want to say we don't concede.
Ooh, big claim.
Can we have the was it 13th goalless draw in Premier League history this weekend?
And I'm going to say 2 to Peel.
2-0 Peel. Dave, what are you saying? Are you feeling under the pressure as there's two of them across the desk from you right now?
Yeah, I'm scared of them. Mm. No, I think...
You're looking pained now.
I just think because Geordies haven't played in over a month, a league game in over a month, I think they might struggle at the start of the game, and I think that'll be when you guys get at them. I have a feeling it'll end in a draw, to be honest.
So I'm
going to sit on the fence.
I reckon 5-3 St George's.
What?
You'll be 3-0 up at half time. Stevie, the Falky will bring you off.
You're going with that, are you? Going with
I reckon they're just going to edge this one, but I think there'll be goals in it. I don't think there'll be clean sheet for either side, to be honest.
All right,
I'm going 1-1.
1-1. Well, I think,
We won't win the league then, Gale.
We might be more on the money then. there's a couple of big games in the Premier League tomorrow. Saturday. Corinthians versus Old Boys. Now, Old Boys have been picking up points in the last couple of weeks. They're sort of now into fourth now, I think, are they?
Yeah, Wayne Kennedy mentioned a few weeks ago that they still haven't ruled out a tilt at the Premier League Cup, have they?
And at the time, I thought he might have been drinking something strange in his Ribena at half time, but no.
They're moving on up the league, aren't they?
Yeah. Corinthians though need a result, don't they, after losing to you guys? They'll be keen to bounce
the
back.
The wheels are off.
The wheels are off.
I think they'll get it. I think they'll edge it by a couple of goals.
Yeah.
I went through Sean Doyle at training, Ireland training last night, by the way, so say sorry to him, because he probably won't be playing on Saturday after the tackle I did.
And if, I don't know if you guys have seen the new stand is finished. The
Yeah, it's really good, doesn't it? Yeah.
Fantastic.
So that should be their sort of almost its first official run out, although I'm guessing they'll have some sort of opening ceremony. And,
yeah, I think I saw a post on Facebook that there are still a few little things in plaques and stuff they need to do, so it isn't officially opened yet. But
have you pitched up on Saturday? Can you sit in it? Or?
I think so. Some of the seats are still available as well.
It's £250.
Yeah.
So. I think we should have a whip round. Then we'd always have somewhere to sit. Then
the Max Media seat.
Yeah. Yeah. Me, you, Hattie, and Eric. We'll put a few quid in each. But yeah, I think a home win in this one. You two equally.
Home win.
Yeah. Braddon versus Rushen. Rushen have only played 4 games so far this season, and they're away at Braddon. Braddon have been a bit of a surprise package this year. They've got obviously you've already mentioned the 12th goalless draw of the season ever in the Premier League was last week against St John's,
wasn't it?
So they're trying to get grind results out. They're already cusping on the 12-14 points we've seen.
They've got 10 points already, and you know they're looking good this season. This will be a tough game for them, though. Yeah. Although we're going to be seeing how Russia are going to play, how match sharp they are.
Yeah.
Obviously, you guys went up against them on the opening day of the season, didn't you?
You were unlucky there, to be fair, boys. And I think Paul Jones said that himself. You lost 3-2, but it could have been any score.
After 25 minutes, it should have been dead and buried, but, you know, that's football, isn't it?
Yeah, Max held his hands across the game and said, you know, I made a couple of errors there, boys, and he did. But it's hard because he's not played in
a year
and a bit. And you can't expect someone to come in and be that sharp, you know.
It's different for a goalkeeper having time out to an outfield player because they're on their own. I mean, we've got everybody else to sort of help us. So.
They did well that day to come back, yeah.
I think Russian will win this, but away at Braddon on a small pitch, and as you say, they're coming off the back of a 0-0. I think it's not going to be as one-sided as it looks on paper.
Mate?
Yeah, I'll go 2-0 Russian.
And I'll just say sorry to Mike Williams. It was a throw-in last night, Mike, to you.
I feel like you're clearing out a lot of issues that were built up last night in that
FA training. The thing is, this is what you want, not Ireland training. You want to be competitive, don't you? Yeah. And you want to replicate a game away.
We're all friends at the end of the day, aren't we?
And that's what I said to Mike. Mike was ranting about this woman throwing.
Let it go all night.
I said, it's training. On a Saturday, it would have been your throw, but it's happened, gone. It's happened, and you'll all shake hands at the end, so...
So we might be fired up for this game. That's why I'm going to tip it into
Rush's favour.
Douglas Royal, St Mary's Royal, sitting very precariously at the bottom of the table, and they 1 point from their opening 8 games, I think, or 7 games.
Yeah, they're already starting to stare down the barrel, aren't they?
St Mary's, though, haven't been in the best fettle themselves. I saw them get soundly humped by Douglas Athletic the other week. Could Royal maybe get something out of this one?
I think you mentioned this in your preview, haven't you, that this could be the chance. But I don't know with this. I mean, I don't know what sort of team it's going to play.
Sorry, Matty's just found that the fixtures are printed on the other side of the screen. what did you say, Lee?
I think Royals can get a result here. We went up there and it was tough. I mean, I know, what did we win, 4-1, 5? Was it 4-1?
Yeah.
And
like
three
that.
Goals come in like the last 10 minutes. That is a small pitch up there. And I don't know what's going on at St Mary's at the minute, but something's not right.
No,
you've got a feel for them, haven't you?
They've got players like Alan, Stee and Bry, and they should be doing a lot better than what they are.
Carl Clark.
And
is he still injured, Clark?
No, well, you played against the
Sam Gellin, I think. Is he still there?
I don't think he played.
He's probably been the best player, I'd say, this season, but I can see an upset there.
Yeah. And obviously, Matt, you used to do a bit of coaching at Royal, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
So, yeah, but you used to do it.
I'm not obviously there now, but good club, and it'd be, you know, done well to come up.
Some of your.
Go straight back down.
They're trying to blood some of the youngsters, I think, from the under 18s, haven't they? So they've got, like, Jack Kamada and Jacob Crook there as well.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah.
So are these the boys that came from Union Mills?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
So do you think that they'll do the business on Saturday?
I don't think they will.
See St Mary's?
Yeah, I can see St Mary's probably a 2-3-0.
Ooh, yeah, convincing. Ramsey versus Douglas Athletic. Ramsey again, they have only played about 4 games, I think. They're is sat second bottom as a result. Athletic will be probably a bit. I don't think they've played since the 6-0 win, have they?
No, before the confidence after that.
Did they play Laxey, or was that postponed last week? The other week?
I think it was postponed, was that? I'm not sure, but. Yeah, they'll be chopping at the bit to get back out there and get some more points on the board because they had a ridiculously tough start to the season, didn't they?
They played really well in that match. It was 6-0 but in 28 minutes, and it could have been more. Matty Richards and Golf St Mary's pulled off a couple of good saves. But yeah, they really impressed me. Mikey Callister looks good. Mountain Route, Karen looks sharp as always. You know, so I think this will be a good game, and I think they should beat Ramsey here because Ramsey get a young side that is still struggling for game time as well as anything else.
Yeah, I've seen Ramsey a couple of times this season. On the one hand, they won 4-1 on the opening day of the season. The other time, they lost 7-1 to Colby. So you don't know which team is going to turn up.
Boys, were you both favouring the Pinks in this
I'm
one?
I'm going for an away win. I think they're too big and they'll just intimidate Ramsey.
4-1.
Yeah,
4-1. Right, Colby St John's. Colby down towards the bottom of the table, aren't they?
I think they lost 5-0 to All Boys last week, did they?
Yes. St John's, I think they were unbeaten in 5, aren't they, you think, now?
They've got, well, we know they're a tough side to play against, aren't they, St John's? And they've got away recently to Laxey, got a point. They had that draw against Braddon last week. So
a lot of high-scoring games, though, and I think they've had struggled with the goalkeeper. Damo's been out. Jamie Moffat apparently played very well in goal last week, but they've had two or three different goalkeepers, and I think that's been probably reflected in the maybe more draws than would have been wins if Damo had been playing. But yeah, I think Eric said Damo might be back soon. I don't know, he broke his finger or something.
Yeah, training, didn't we?
Saw him at the bank in work a couple of weeks ago. Didn't look right anyway, so I don't know if you're rushing back with that.
But Jamie Moffat, clean sheet.
Starting of the season.
He got a couple of decent saves last week as well. So you think that they should beat Colby even at the station grounds?
Yeah, I think so. It'll be close though.
Yeah. Lads?
St John's for me.
Yeah, Jonas. Yeah. Jonas.
Right, Division 2, big game at the top, Dave. Moran taking on Leaders Youth.
This is a big test of Youth's title credentials, I think. You know, they're sitting pretty at the top of the table. Moran are in good form, and I wouldn't be surprised if they could take some points off the Leaders in this game.
A few pill old boys at Moran, perhaps.
Yeah.
They seem to be having a good run at the moment.
Yeah, I like Moran as a club. I feel a bit sorry for them down the second division there. I'd like to see them come back up. So I'll go for a win for those boys on Saturday.
Youthy for me. Can't see Moran winning that. Watch them against Foxdale. And
they've got a good squad, haven't they? They've put together a strong team.
Youthy will win that league pretty comfortably at the end of the season.
They lost to Union Mills the other week, didn't they?
They did.
Bit of a odd result, that.
Well, Foxdale were top of the table until they went up against Moran, and Moran stopped them. Stopped their 100% win the start. So, you know, this is not going to be an easy game. Could go either way.
Especially on a tight pitch down at Crosby. I'm sure there'll be monkey brains galore after as well if they get a victory. Foxdale, Onken. Foxdale, another tough game for Onken actually, because Onken played Castown last week, didn't they? And now they've travelled to Billy Goat to take on promotion. Probably favourites, really, Foxdale.
I'd say so, yeah. I mean, Onken have had a good start to the season, but they lost narrowly to Castletown 1-0, didn't they? So they'll be keen to get back to winning ways, but I have to say I favour Foxdale with this one. Lee, I'm sure you'd agree.
Yeah, Foxdale of its own.
Matty?
Yeah, Craig on there, overhead kick, halfway. Like, 1-0 Foxdale, yeah.
Governors and Athletic vs Dublin District. Douglas District. A scrap at the bottom. This game has Hattie's name all over it, but unfortunately he's going to watch Ramsey Douglas and Athletic instead. I think this will be a good game, this. I think there'll be a few goals in it.
I think so. I fancy D&D to get the points here. You know, they've had a solid start to the season, but they've got some way to match last season's points tally. But this is a good opportunity for them to get some more points on the board.
A late birthday present for Dave Matheson's birthday today, so many happy returns. Are you listening, Dave? I'm sure he is, ready to scrutinise all our stats about Douglas and Districts.
Yep.
Lee, any insight on this match? Do you think it's going to go D&D's way?
D&D, with it being Dave's birthday, yeah.
Mate?
I don't know either of the teams, but as in who plays for them, so I'll go 0-0.
Peter Callow, who used to play for Peter Callow used to play for St John's, now turning out for Governors. I think he played in the Comedy.
I'll say him to score then, 1-0.
Halfway, overhead kick.
Overhead kick, halfway along.
Yeah.
Paul Rose versus Polly. Are playing well at the moment. We had the lads obviously in a couple of weeks ago. They're very positive. Paul Guy, they're targeting silverware, isn't he?
Absolutely, and you know what, I think they will. I expect them to beat Ayr in this game. Ayr have just been a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde side as well. They can't seem to get any consistency going, whereas Paulie, they've got the firepower. You know, they've got Steve Glover up front, you know, Barry English, Nathan Yates, and a lot. I think they'll win this.
Lee?
Yeah, Paulie for me. I think they're going to be one of the teams that come up, probably with Rykob.
Right.
Yeah, Paulie, yeah. Convincing
pulley win. Malou Jims, Malou sort of still had a bit of a downhill run recently. I think they should rescue this against a gym side that haven't got a point yet.
Now bottom of the table, so this should be quite comfortable for Malou. As you say, they've been a bit inconsistent, haven't they? They've had a few problems, but I don't know if Andy Glover will be back.
He might be back. This could be the third game that he's back, that he's served as suspension. So
yeah, I hope he's his injury's cleared up, you know, but I can only see a home win in this game.
Lee?
Same, I think there'll be lots of goals, Malou win.
As Matty has some more of a jammy dodger.
Yeah, it's a shame to see Jim's down in that position, because they are a good club with a lot of history. But yeah, it's going to be Malou, but it'd be good to see Jim's sort of get themselves back together again and have a decent manager, get the players back in, but yeah, there they are down there. So
I think it's just a transitional season for them. You know, I don't see it being a permanent thing, them being down there. You know, Tony Sewell's there, they've got a lot of young players. They lost a few of their more experienced ones at the start of the season, so.
Like Barry Harding going to Geordie's, call them out here. Why has he done that? He's been at Jim's for years and years.
Mark Connor done as well.
But why? What was all that Jim's Till I Die and all that? And now they cleared off. What's that about? Not impressed, Barry.
Final game of Division 2 on Saturday sees Castletown welcome Michael United to the stadium. Castletown should win this, although Mr. Hurt seems to have found his scoring boots again for the visitors.
Absolutely, I mean, yeah, Castletown would be favourites, but Hurt got a goal, they lost 2-1 to Moran, I think, was it?
Good result, that. Really, although, good. I'm guessing the wind may have played its role at Blair Road.
Possibly, but no, I think Michael will take some confidence from that. I wouldn't be surprised if they push Castletown hard on this, but I'd still expect a home win.
Lee?
Home win for me, Castletown will be too strong for them.
I hurt you in there. I reckon Michael might get a result.
Yeah. Hurt in beef, the dream partnership up front. Right, Dave, it's now time for the world famous Combi Corner feature.
World infamous, yeah. Right, there were 10 games last week and it was another high scoring day. There were no fewer than 74 goals scored.
So that's how many games last week? 10?
Yeah, so
7.4 goals a game average.
Wow. Not too shabby. Not too
Combi
shabby.
Football, eh? Can't beat it.
Youthy were the biggest scorers, winners of the day. They beat Governors 12-2. Martin Murphy scored 4 goals, and Dylan Parrish got a hat-trick. There were also hat-tricks for John Hagedorn for St John's against Braddon. They won 5-2. Stan Manning for Laxey's. They beat St Mary's 4-2. In that game, Al Harrison actually scored a brace. So warm it up for this weekend, I think.
Yeah.
Ryan Crawley got 3 for Rushen as they beat Ramsey 9-2. Callum Dawson got a hat-trick as Oncombe beat Castletown 6-2, and Lee Christian got a hat-trick for Mills as they won 6.
Hat-tricks galore, there won't be many match balls left.
I know, but another high-scoring day. So Rushen, as a result, Rushen and Youthy have both continued their 100% winning start to the season.
David Ward's revolution on the Poirean coast continues. That's 8 from 8, isn't it?
It is, for both them and Youthy. Mm. So Rushen lead Corinthians, yourselves, Peel and Old Boys by 6 points, and Youthy are leading Combi 2 ahead of Oncombe by 6 points. So
there you go. As comprehensive as always, Dave. Thank you very much.
Thanks for staying awake.
No, that's fine. I can just fast forward the other when I listen to it later. Liam Doyle, Sweet Park Rangers play OKC Energy FC. That's the American football. Well, American
sounds
soccer
like a club. Nightclub.
They play on Saturday night in the USL Western Conference Final. So that's the playoffs, right? If they go through, beat OKC Energy FC. God almighty. Well, couldn't they not be just like normal names like
Peel.
Yeah. they will play in the UCL Cup Final, which is against the winner of the Eastern Conference playoff. I think, looking at the stats, the Sweet Park Rangers were the 4th seeds going into the playoffs and OKC Energy FC were 6th. So they should be favourites.
Well, yeah, good luck to Liam for that.
He was on the bench last week, I think, so hopefully he'll be in and around the squad again on Saturday night. I think it's 8:30 kickoff Eastern time, Dave, so what's that? How many hours ahead is that?
Are they 5?
I don't know.
I think they're 5.
Well, so you might be watching it in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be streamed somewhere.
Look to him, yeah.
Yeah. Lads, all that's left to say, thanks for coming in. Thanks for enjoying the Jammy Dodgers with us.
Thanks for having us.
Cheers, thanks for that.
We should mention Adam Long, really, I think.
Oh, yes, Adam Long, of course. Yeah, we missed it last week with you being on Ollie Bob's.
Obviously made his debut for Wigan.
Yeah, the Checker Day Trophy against Borough under-21s. I think they won 4-1.
4-1, fantastic result. By all accounts, he had a very good game.
Yeah, okay. and then he played for the under-18 side in the Youth Cup against Morecambe, and I think they won 3-0. So he's quite
fantastic. I think he Adam turns 17 next week. So as a result, he's only the second player born in this millennium to play for the first team for Wigan after Victor Maffeo, I think it is. Yeah. So it's fantastic.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, so he's going somewhere. Well, that's, have you played against? Do you play against him briefly?
I've played against him a couple of times. Yeah.
You wouldn't think he was that young, would he? He was stature.
Oh, he's a big fella. Like, yeah. That's great, and you know more people from the island need to get the opportunity to do that. Mm-hmm. So, and start at that age, so 14, 15, mm-hmm. get them over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hopefully, it will happen because it needs to, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, hopefully now we're going to have seen that they've kind of unearthed a gem with Adam there, maybe coming over. Wherever you obviously, did you speak to Greg or Rack?
Gregor, yeah. And obviously he's got ties with Geordies and Dicko and stuff, so hopefully they'll be coming over quite a bit.
Yeah.
Which will be good.
I think, lads, though, it might be too late for you two.
Well,
far too late.
Matt Vets.
Oh, yeah.
Professional Vets.
Right, lads, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for coming in. Good luck for Saturday. Good luck for the rest of the season. Remember, you can listen to all of last season's Manx Footy pods and the rest of the season at online at audioboom.com/channel/Manx football. Do you want to know who was the most popular podcast out of you two last year?
Well,
who do you think?
Tough start of fight, Andy.
Go Gale.
You're at Gale there?
I guess Woodsy.
You? I can tell you, Woodsy had 299 listens, and Gaylor's on 339. So 40 different. So all those cyclists you see listening in for.
Is that what it was? A cycle? No, they're much more popular.
Cheers, right, lads. Thanks a lot. Remember, you can keep your eyes glued to Twitter for updates from Saturday's big game, Peel St George's, at Max40blog. I think that's about it, isn't it?
I think so. Good podcast today.
Cheers. Until next week.
Ta-da for now.
Cheers. Thanks.